and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota. We live in a day when many church members don't hunger for the faithful preaching of God's Word, a day when many who call themselves Christians would rather be entertained on Sunday morning than hear the faithful preaching of God's Word. The truth really doesn't matter to many people today. Many church members ask, how does it make me feel or does it work? But seldom do they ask if it's biblical. That's why there's so much distortion in worship, doctrine, and living in the Christian church today. What about you? Do you hunger for God's Word? Do you realize how important preaching the truth of God's Word is in the life of the church? It's the gospel message that the Spirit of God uses to convert the souls of sinners and translate them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Do you believe the gospel? Listen for the next 15 minutes to God's Word is Truth and hear what God says to us from His infallible and errant inspired Word. At the end of today's program, information about God's Word is Truth will be made available.
Now, as James teaches here that his life was about serving the Lord Jesus Christ in the same way, principally, that's our life. Can you say that this morning? Can you look at this first verse and understand, as James says, that he is a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, that his business is about serving Him? Can you say that of yourself? Can you say you're not your own, but I am truly a slave bought by Jesus Christ? I belong to Him. I've been bought with a price, not silver and gold, but with His precious blood. You see, that's on the heart of those who have been redeemed. They understand their life is a service to God. It should be a striving continually to serve Him and to be better stewards of what He has given to us, that we might steward what He gives to us for His honor, His glory, and the extension of the kingdom of Christ. How often do we not think that way, beloved? How often do we think that the things that I have, I use for what I want? Rather than asking the question, how would God have me to use these possessions? How would He have me to steward them? How can I use what God has blessed me with for the glory and honor of His name and for the good of the Church of Jesus Christ? How foreign is that from your thoughts this morning? You have what you have as a steward of Jesus Christ. How will you be on the day when you have to render to the Lord how you've stewarded His goods? We'll give an account. It's not one outside the household. That's in the household of faith. You'll give an account. How are you going to be when you stand before the Lord who has bought you by His precious blood to be His slave when you give an account for your family as the prophet, priest, and king of your home? How will you do then? Think about those things, beloved. Let them be on your mind. Pray that the Lord gives you more and more grace to grow in your stewardship for His honor and His glory, as we are those who are bought by Jesus Christ. James writes this epistle, and he sends it out, as you see, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. This is the Jewish Christians who were scattered from the persecution that took place, if you read between Acts 7 and Acts 8. From the stoning of Stephen, when that happened, and there began a great persecution against the church, and it began to be scattered. Everybody was scattered but the apostles. They stayed there in Jerusalem. And James begins to write to those who are scattered abroad. He's writing to believers, to those who are the redeemed, and he's telling them how they ought to live their lives as those who are truly the redeemed of Jesus Christ. They were scattered abroad because of the persecution. It was not a bad thing. The persecution, notice, it was something that spread the church out. That's the very way that we are to be as the church. We're not to be huddled here. We're not to be on an island by ourselves. We are left in this world to evangelize the lost. We gather here on the Lord's Day. I'm not preaching to unbelievers this morning. I'm preaching to the people of God. I'm preaching to those who confess faith in Jesus Christ. And you are to take this word, beloved, and as the salt of the earth, go out and spread it. And come back as we gather again next Lord's Day to lift up our songs to the Lord Jesus Christ who has redeemed us. And then once again learn His Word, bow to His Word, confess our sins, and scatter abroad again, taking the Word with us wherever we go. Now, how are you doing with that stewardship? How often we get on a treadmill and we go through the same old motions? We go to church, we go to work, we never do anything with our faith, we never grow an ounce during the week, and then we come again on Sunday, hear a little bit more, and then go off and do the same thing over and over again, and you get on that spin cycle where you never evangelize, you never spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are multitudes that do not understand the doctrine of salvation in Jesus Christ. There are multitudes in the church who don't understand it. We need to be those who tell them. God will hold us accountable for telling others. We have been given the precious jewel of the gospel, not to hoard it, not to huddle in a corner, but to go out into the highways and the byways, into the hedges, and bring that gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing? When you think about the persecution that came upon the church that caused the scattering of these Jewish believers, that it was the very purpose of Saul of Tarsus, who was an enemy of the church at that time, who was putting to death believers. He was going from house to house, city to city, and he would get letters from the Sanhedrin, the high priest, to be able to have passageway into all the different cities to be able to take Christians and kill them, persecute them, put them in prison, see to their death, stone them, whatever it took to stamp out the people of the way, the people of following Jesus Christ. And it's kind of like a fire. There was a book written, "The Spreading of the Flame." And it speaks in that way. Great analogy. Ever stomp on a fire and you get fire on your feet? And you go try and stomp the stuff out on your feet, and it begins spreading it out into little areas again, and they begin starting to burn, and you have more of a fire now than you did when it was just left alone. When it's left alone, it tends to smolder. It tends to die out. That's why the Lord brings persecution. It spreads the church around. We are to be spread out. We are to bring the good news. And this is the people, the 12 tribes here. James writes to them and he tells them greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Is that how you approach your trials? Could you say when the trial comes upon you that you count it as joy? We are to consider the trial all joy. We are to look at it in that way. Understand the perspective. Think about what I had just explained to you about the church being persecuted and it began to be spread all over the place. Now, as it began to be spread all over the Roman Empire, more and more people heard the gospel and came to faith in Jesus Christ, and souls were added to the church daily, and it was as a result of the persecution. What that tells us is we have a tendency as believers to huddle, to group, and to want to be together and not go out. There is a time and a purpose for our gathering, but also a purpose for us to scatter. Let the church begin all over the world. Missionaries are sent out for what reason? That the church might be established in other countries. There have been missionaries that have gone to China. There are missionaries that have gone to Africa. Thomas, who was one of the 12, is said that he went into Africa to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was their purpose. Did they suffer trials? Yeah. And you know, you read in the book of Acts when Peter and John were flogged for preaching the gospel, it says that they went out rejoicing. Would that be our attitude this morning? Would we go out rejoicing that we would count it an honor to suffer for the namesake of Jesus Christ? Not to suffer for obnoxiousness. Not to suffer for self-righteousness. Not to suffer for haughtiness. But to suffer because you brought the gospel of Jesus Christ to a hostile world because you love people in this world. If you love them, you tell them the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul and Silas were in the inner prison in stocks, being stretched to the max. And what does it say about them? The other prisoners heard them singing psalms and praying to God. Again, I ask, could that be said of the 21st century believer? Would we be those who rejoice in our suffering because it's for Christ's namesake? I dare say we would be whiners. We're like spiritual lightweights today. We cry at the drop of a hat over everything. That is us. We need to toughen up. We need to understand the teaching of God's Word, that these are going to come upon us. The term of endearment, he says, my brethren, I'm one of you, you're one of me, we're together, we're united spiritually. That's what a brother in Christ is. You're united spiritually in the body of Jesus Christ, and you will never be separated. Do you see why it's just such a horrendous thing for us to have fighting among ourselves? We are those who are united together forever. And we, as those united together forever, ought to be about the business of getting along on this earth. Putting aside our differences and the problems that we have. Look, we're living stones, beloved. We're going to rub up against one another. Get over it. Understand the perspective of who you are in Jesus Christ. Live out of that perspective. Think about it. Meditate upon it. How do we say today? We're just killing time. That should not be on the mouth, on the lips, in the mind of a believer. You're never killing. You're redeeming the time. You take the time to meditate on the things of God. Taking a passage of Scripture, thinking it over, and mulling it over in our mind. How often do we do that? How often is nonsense on the radio? Nonsense in our mind. You don't grow like that. We don't become the spreading flame like that. We don't emulate what James says here about being a slave of Jesus Christ. James says, count it all joy. And isn't that the problem in the church, the rejoicing? Think about, as I said with the hymn this morning, that Christ has redeemed you. He has looked upon your estate, your helpless estate. And He has shed His own blood for your soul. And because of that, you bear your sin no more, and that motivates praise from the redeemed.
God's Word is Truth is a listener-supported broadcast, and therefore we count on your financial support to help keep this program on the air. So if you've been edified by what you've just heard, would you please consider faithfully supporting us by your financial gifts? Any amount of support would be greatly appreciated. If you'd like more information about Providence Reformed Church, please visit us on the web at www.providencerccos.com. There you'll find our contact information if you'd like to leave us your feedback or donate to our ministry. We also like to extend an invitation to all who are listening to this program to come worship with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 830 Madison Street, Vermilion, South Dakota. Our Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. God's Word is Truth is a ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota, and we thank you for your support and pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, for He truly is the only hope of the nations.